Welcome to the M3 Deadcast, where large black homosexual men discuss the show The Walking Dead. Welcome to the introductory episode of the M3 Deadcast. My name is Malcolm Travers, and I will be joined soon by my co-host Mark Estes. In our first episode, we're just going to talk about the first half of the fifth season. Then in subsequent episodes, we'll discuss each episode of the fifth season one by one. We are huge fans of the Walking Dead show and the comic, and we hope that you will enjoy this podcast just as much.
Let's start with an overview of what we want the podcast to be. So, and we've talked about The Walking Dead before, but since we're starting in the middle of the season, we want to just give a quick recap. I guess both of us have seen every episode so far, right?
Yep.
And we've actually read the comic up through, you said issue 100?
I've read to 101.
101.
Yeah.
So basically, we're up to date with the, you know, the continuity, whatever exists between the show and the comic, because they haven't reached that far. So I think we're going to give our predictions later on. But first, I thought we'd just start with a little recap.
Okay.
So the first episode, No Sanctuary, we find Rick's group back from the season 4 cliffhanger, where they're all, like, they fucked with the wrong crew, which he said they messed with the wrong people or something like that. But that was straight from the comic, too. They had a little, you know, they don't know who they're messing with, or I can't remember if that's how they said it.
Yeah, it was funny because I remember watching the Talking Dead, and they kept saying how Andrew Lincoln kept saying they're fucking with the wrong people, and they were like, no, you gotta, it's on cable, but it's not on cable.
You know, they start off that episode with a blast, literally, like they're killing a bunch of people, and then an explosion happens, and then, you know, they escape. And in the escape, there is also, like, this side story with Tyrese, right. Tyrese is up in the cabin with Judith and this other dude from Terminus, and he's just like, you know, you should kill me. You're weak because you know you should kill me right now. You know, this baby's going to die. And he takes the baby hostage, and then he gets pulled out outside into some walkers. And, of course, in classic Tyrese fashion, just takes out a whole herd of walkers with his bare hands.
And then goes in and fucks dude up. Man, I was in cheer. I'm like, fuck him up, Tyrese. Fuck him up. Because you don't
know,
train
right?
no baby like that, man. Come on.
I know, right? Yeah. Tyrese is the man. It's true. He's fucking up people, so... And then, you know, in that episode, we were kind of getting a glimpse that maybe Carol is going to be the new Andrea.
Yeah,
because, you know, Andrea in the comic is, of course, a badass, but she's dead in the show. But, you know, the Carol in the comic is nothing like the Carol in the show. So it seems like they kind of reversed the two. And Carol in the show is awesome. So.
Oh, God. I remember when she first came on. Everybody thought she was going to die by the end of, like, the second season or something like that.
Right.
She came up and kicked ass and bored. And she was doing stuff that I wouldn't even think to, I would have not have thought of done. You know what I'm saying? I would have not thought to just blow up the damn gas tank and then take out the walkers and then go in as a walker. And then go, oh, my God.
She was going mercenary. She had the guts on her, like, from the season one, clearly she's evolved as a character. She's sniping. She's blowing shit up. She saved the entire crew even after they exiled her from the prison. So, I mean, that was an amazing episode. And then, you know, at the end of that episode, they preview the fact that Morgan was following them. You know, seemed like sometime after Rick had modified that sign to say No Sanctuary.
Yeah.
You know, he's picked up their trail. And then you mentioned to me something I didn't catch, you know, even at the end of this first half of the season, they show that he's still on their trail. So that is a indication that they're going to meet up at some point.
Hopefully sooner than later, hell, because I'm gonna need Selene James to just stop grinding doing other shit. No, you stay put on The Walking Dead. Do not go do no other half-ass show that's not gonna probably last more than 2 or 3 episodes. Just stick with The Walking Dead. It's a guaranteed gig, and you already got a fan base. Don't move your ass nowhere else. Just stay
Man.
put.
Well, I gotta say, the new showrunner, I know, you know, they switched showrunners after season three. And season four and the first half of season five have been great. So,
I think
yeah.
Scott Gimple is doing a damn good job. He knows. I think about him being a fan. I think I forgot who the second damn Glenn Mazzara, I think his name was. Glenn was trying to keep in line with what Frank Darabont wanted to do with the show, and so it was kind of like season 3 and 2 were kind of like Frank Darabont was still in that. I'm not saying that Frank Darabont's reign or Glenn's reign was bad. It was just, you know, you're getting character development, and it's like everybody's on track, you know. So it's just everything, you're getting good character development, fast-paced storytelling, and you're also getting whatever the gore fans want. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, okay, here we go. I thought you were a zombie and chomping on somebody here, though, but just focus on what's going on here. Everybody's online here. Yeah, so.
Well, that was one of the things I thought about. I went on Netflix and I was checking out Z Nation, which was on Sci-Fi.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it will help you appreciate The Walking Dead. You should go see at least one episode because it's a zombie show that gives you all the gore and no story. You know, it's like, you know, and so I don't
It's
know.
like a weekly, bad sci-fi channel zombie movie. I mean, a baby took out a dude who was armed to the nine. A zombie baby took out a dude who was armed to the nine. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, the baby wasn't even dead. When they found the baby, he was crying, and they were sitting there, and they see another baby stop crying. They like, where'd he go? Ah, I'm like, really? Really? I'm like, I'm insulted. It's horrible. I think they got it the game of the second season. I'm like, I guess they just like to see people popping zombies every week, but that's just,
Yeah, no.
oh.
But I think that's the thing, though. The one thing I like about it is, you know, some people feel The Walking Dead is too slow, like that there's not enough
Exactly.
zombie kills.
And that goes back to what I was saying, where, you know, I think the Glenn Mazzara, Frank Darabont thing, those like that's not, 'cause I kept hearing all during season 2, there's no zombies, they're just stuck on the fucking farm, there's nothing going on. I'm like, have you read the fucking comic book? That's not a zombie killing every comic book, you know. They're a background, you know, menace. You know what I'm saying? Just they've been in the background. It might run drive past one, they'll get in the car and just automatically shoot one, and don't get back in the car. It's just like,
Because
that's
I
just the
guess
background.
it gets boring after a while. And one of the things that, you know, The Walking Dead definitely has are interesting characters. And I think getting to the second episode in season five, Strangers, was when they run into what's his name? The priest's name?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, yes, who's also in the comic, and I think he's just an interesting character because he's a complete pacifist in a way. Yeah. And, you know, they ask him the three questions, like, how many zombies you kill? He said, none. How many people you kill? None. You know, why didn't you kill any? You know, why? He's like, because the Lord protects me or some shit. And and it was like, it was interesting. Like, it was, there's a variety of characters in that. They have so many things, you know, with the Bob, who's the former alcoholic now trying to do that bright side game. He's like, you know, what's, it was some joke where you're like, you know, what's the try to find the silver lining of danger around every corner. And it's like, well, never a dull moment.
He kept talking and talking. I'm like, shut up, dude. You're putting yourself in a damn grave. I'm like, I can see you being dead by the
Yeah.
way.
Which he did. He did pretty much at the end of that episode get bit, although you didn't know it yet. Because, you know, they get to the church, they're kind of suspicious of Gabriel, but then they, you know, they find out that there's like some food bank and they go to the food bank and he gets bit. You don't know it yet. But, you know, by the end of that episode, they have decided to split up into two groups. Abraham is going to take Eugene. And I think, what was it, Glenn and Maggie decided to go along. With Tara. That's her name, Tara.
Yeah.
So those five decide to get on the bus and go try to save the world. And the rest stay behind. And I think at that point, that's when Carol decided to leave again. And I can't remember why, but, you know,
she felt as if that she was not a part of the group after what she did. Yeah, they were going to, you know, they were going to include her in and everything like that. But I guess that she had done her part. She was just so content on being on her own.
Yeah.
Which to me is bullshit. But you know you want to be with them, Kara. I don't know why you're playing, though, but it'll just be
maybe she got used to it. Maybe because she was completely unregretful about what she did, you know. Like, she, even to this day, is like, I did what was right, and you cast me off. Like, I don't want to have to deal with you people anymore. I mean, I'll save you and you're like family, but, you know.
Yeah.
She wanted to be able to make her own decisions, and I can kind of see that. So that was Into Strangers. I guess the third one was Four Walls and a Roof. And this was when Gareth was eating Bob's leg.
Yeah, like, which I was sick to my damn stomach to watch.
Yeah, because he wandered off at the end of that. And, you know, so, you know, you got to eat. That was that one.
And I was pissed. And then on top of that, they were talking about, can we go back to the Terminus crew?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you paid attention, though, but they kept showing their flashbacks to, like, how they became who they were.
Right.
I didn't give a shit. Because
right.
Our thing was, Rick, we've seen how Rick and his group has been through all types of crap.
Right.
You know, and they're still somewhat sane, you know what I'm saying, to the point where we can root for them. But so it'd be one thing, though, like, we're just taking, you know, people's stuff and we're making them join us. It's another thing, you're going to eat them? It's just like, like, okay, so you know better than the damn things, the zombies and stuff like this. So, and I'm like, that's just, so showing it.
No, I was going to say, I think one of the things that is good about those alternate characters is it puts them in contrast with the main group. Because, you know, one of the things I felt was Morgan served as a, because we were doing the writing exercises about doppelgangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always saw Morgan as Rick's doppelganger. You know, it was him and his son. You know what I mean? And his son died, and it was all about protecting them. And I think the Terminus group was kind of the same deal. Like, they were this place where they had sanctuary, and it was the same deal with the governor coming in and taking everything, you know?
Yeah.
So that was what the Terminus group was to me. It was their group. Same storyline, except they went batshit crazy and started eating people.
I didn't feel a thing about it because my thing was, I mean, shit, Rick them got down to eating dog food, you know what I'm saying? It was like, it's getting hard to eat dog food, and then they start growing their own food. But the cows kind of got a little greedy, you know what I'm saying? They wanted some steak with their meat and potatoes, with their potatoes and carrots and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So they had to start chopping folks' legs off and stuff because they weren't hungry.
I can't necessarily... I am not sympathetic to them either, but I guess I do understand. I understand their plight. I'm not necessarily sympathetic because they were mean. I think if they were nice cannibals, I might say.
They were
mean.
They were deceptive. Yeah, it was really bad. They took all their shit. and then they ate them. You know, like, that's horrible. Although I guess they didn't torture them. There was that. They did, you know, when they were lining it up and killing them, it was a clean blow to the head. I mean, it was sort of humane,
clean,
I guess.
A clean blow and a slit across the neck. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, the thing was, I thought it was, because I did not read the comic book. And I'm not sure if they mentioned it in the comic books at all, but, you know, when they first introduced them, you know, the very first time during last season when we kind of, like, they ran through, I guess, the cutting room, I thought it was some sort of religious sect. And so when I found out that they were, it seemed like they were just cannibals. And I guess because I don't know the mind of a cannibal, like, I don't think it's like, I don't know what makes a person, I guess, resort to cannibalism, because it seems like it's got to be something more than starvation, particularly when there are other options, like you were saying, like, you know, growing a tomato, or, you know, when there are other options, what exactly would move you to, you know, eat another human?
Well, see, I think that was what...
It would be really cool if they were, if it was more of a religious connotation to it, then it would have been more psychological. Other than like,
yeah.
Oh, they're crazy, 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 crazy. Like,
yeah,
if
I think
they were eating people for the Lord. I was like, oh, okay, you're crazy. Okay, I got it.
Well, they definitely. I think there was definitely a certain spiritual aspect to it, religious or spiritual. Like, they, you know, even in the show, because honestly, none of this at Terminus actually happened in the show. There were cannibals, which we were getting up on episode 3, and it was interesting how they tied those together. So when they were eating Bob in the comic, that was Dale. And they just ran into them randomly. But it was interesting how they tied that into the Terminus, because the Terminus storyline was completely unique to the show. So the way that they described it in the show was that they experienced such horrible cruelty that it twisted them. Because they weren't just beaten, and they were tortured and raped, and, you know, after trying to take people in or whatever, they just turned. And in a way, it was, I forget what the words were that they put in there, but it was sort of a symbolic dedication to each other. Like, we are, whatever they went through at Terminus bonded them to each other, and it became us and them. Like, we are the chosen people. Everyone else is food. Whatever thing happened to them turned their psychology really fucked up. But that being said, I did want to turn back to where we were. So Bob was getting his leg eaten.
They hadn't left yet. They were planning on, and then when they found out that Bob was missing, they were like, okay, let's go now. They're like, okay, fuck Bob, let's go now.
Okay. And I forget exactly what they did, but they fucked him up. I thought it was interesting, you know, in the first episode, he mentioned to that dude that he was going to kill him with that machete, and then he did. In the church, of all things. Like, they tricked him into, you know, going after the baby or whatever, because the baby was crying in the back. You know, they doubled back around, thinking that they had left, but they knew that they were watching them. They came back in the church and hacked the shit out of him. It's like, you know, they could have shot him, but it's like, yeah, I ain't wasting bullets on them.
Hey, which is exactly, hey, yeah. I was that Holocaust in the bitch.
I know. So, you know, and it was funny. I remember first time around, wasn't it that Carol wanted to go back and take them out in that episode?
Yeah, but let her finish them off.
Yeah. Yeah. So that turned out to be something. I mean, yeah, Bob was dead anyway, but, you know, it was, so yeah, I guess the next episode was when Tyrese put Bob down?
No, that's all the same episode.
That was the same episode? Okay.
Yeah, because the next episode we finally found out what happened to Bill.
Okay. That's right. And so, yeah, I think Michonne also got her katana back at the end of that episode, right? Because the...
Boy.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I'm done with all that. You know, I'm just happy to be. She got a katana. Like, oh, shit, I don't know, man. I got my power back. I got my shit back. Well, yeah. That was hard.
Yeah. So that was the thing I was saying. Like, Carol is reaching Michonne status as far as badassness. Like, so you got Rick and Michonne, kind of the biggest badasses. You got Carol and Daryl, kind of, you know, team badass too, which they, you know, they had their own little storyline with Beth going.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
So, yeah, they go to Atlanta, which at first I was a little taken aback by the fact that I thought they were a good – way further away from Atlanta than
the
geography of Georgia. Yeah.
Because,
you know, Terminus is Macon, you know, it's like a good 2-hour trip. I don't know, just saying. Like, I guess being from Georgia, knowing the geography, I was just like, that's a little quick. It ain't happening in 30 minutes. But anyway, you know, that aside. Atlanta, which I'm surprised that anyone could stay there, because, you know, last time they were there, it was just like hordes of zombies. But they're up in Grady Memorial Hospital, and so there's some people staying there. They fortified themselves, like, on the 20th floor or some shit, like, way up in, you know. And so they've got this weird sort of society going where they go around rescuing people. And that's when you find out that's how Beth was taken in season 4. Well, they, you know, turned cars into ambulances, which then they sort of are very utilitarian about what the people they save, you know, like, are you going to contribute to their group in some way? And if they don't, you know, they're fairly cruel and calculating about what they do with the people after they save them. They're almost like prisoners or slaves, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, another group that you can see, like, they're trying to do something positive, but it's always something twisted about it. It was really twisted. So, also not in the comic, we should mention, none of this was in the comic. So interesting, it's an interesting sideline. And so in that episode was, Carol and Daryl's adventures in Atlanta. Or was it?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I mean, in the time frame of that episode, you know, Officer Dunn, that old bitch, she pretty much ran the place. Though we see with some sinister stuff going on, but it was kind of interesting how it all tied in, because Beth met this guy named Noah inside the place.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah was kind of like Dawn's charge or whatever. Her
mm-hmm.
slave, you might was going to say it. So they all together to break out of the hospital, and Noah got away.
Right, right.
Beth got recaptured, and so that's how that kind of leads into, like, Carol and Daryl.
Right. They run, because they end up running into Noah later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once they did that, you know, Carol got hit by a fucking car, trying to run, trying to catch up with the people. So they take Carol into the hospital, and that's how we find out how Carol got in the hospital. And then Daryl takes Noah back to the camp to get reinforcements and stuff like that. And so they, you know, that's pretty
yeah.
much all of it, you know.
Right, right. And in between there was the revelation that Eugene was lying. Because
yeah.
I think there was the self-help episode where they end up getting toward what, a super herd, you know, like
yeah.
the herds that have like millions of zombies, and Abraham was gonna like just charge through it, and there's like, oh fuck it, no, I'm lying. It's like, I do not want to die. And they sort of show the backstory of how Eugene and Abraham met.
Mm-hmm.
And how he, you know, created this narrative, because Abraham was like on the verge of suicide,
mm-hmm.
and he gave him this mission to save the world, which gave him this purpose, and now he finds all that shit was a lie, which is definitely kind of interesting. I admit, the way they did it in the show was really good, and in the comic, that was definitely straight out the comic, but...
Yeah, I've been
you know,
him like, fuck do you mean? What do you mean you lying? Like, I don't know. If it had been anybody else, they'd probably like shot him clean in his face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Boom.
He did punch him hard enough that he was out for an entire episode. He knocked his ass clean out. Like, two or three punches to the face and then one knockout punch. And, you know, Abraham's not a small dude. He fucked the dude up, so.
And that's pretty much where everything merged together, right? You know, all the plot lines for the season merged together. That's like
yeah.
After this happened.
Yeah, right. Exactly. After, because that self help was in between the thing with Beth and then Carol and Daryl, and they all meet up back to go save Beth. There were two episodes basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically getting to Atlanta, and then the actual confrontation at the end. You know, it was interesting, definitely, how, you know, the finale was amazing as well, you know, the mid-season finale, where they sort of do that thing where they take something from the comic but twist it, where, you know, Rick runs down that dude, the cop who was about to turn them
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was shocking, but that's something that happened at the prison in the comic, where someone was defecting back to the governor. They had a spy in their midst, and you know,
sure,
he ran his ass down on the road. Yeah. He said, I told you to stop. I gave you the order, and like, sorry, ain't gonna let you kill all my folks, so you're dead.
I thought that was pretty hot how Rick was running. And then once, like, one long zombie was standing there, he just went and gutted him, like, real quick for no damn reason. It was like, I was like, that was something for the gore hounds. I was like, that was just unnecessary. But it was funny, too, at the same time. And the zombie was like, what the fuck, dude? I wasn't even coughing.
So then you had the sort of tragic finale.
I'm gonna say this for the last, ever since season two of The Walking Dead, I have been guaranteed to be in my room crying like a newborn baby. It's something that they did, some death. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't cry for his ass though, but everybody else, I was sitting there just bawling. And so when Beth got her damn head blown off by that stupid ass officer, I was in shock. And then I had to sit there and watch her, Emily Kinney on Talking Dead right afterwards. She was in tears then.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God. I mean, my eyes was red for I know for a good day and a half after that, because this shit just blew my mind. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
She had to go like that.
I know. Well, one of the things about Beth was, like, I remember season three when they were sitting in the courtyard of the prison. I was like, you know, anyone who sings that pretty is going to die. It's like, she's dead. She was not long for this world, but they kept making her a survivor. You know, she kept surviving. And they made it in that episode, like, oh, she's going to survive. They gave her up. You know, they were trading Noah for Beth. And she was just like, her conscience, I guess, you know, it was like, I can't let her live, you know. Like, she's just so evil. Like, I can't let her get away with this. And I'm pretty sure she knew she was going to get killed. But
well, yeah. I mean, like, I don't remember seeing that episode, but it definitely seemed like it was, like, a kamikaze mission. Like, she sacrificed herself. She was a martyr.
So, you know, so that brings us to kind of our predictions. I think we can safely say, you know, a few things that might happen, some unresolved storylines. One we talked about already was, you know, Morgan was following them, you know, so there's that. There's also the unresolved issue that I don't think they ever told the group about, the two girls from season four that killed, you know, Mika and
they did not.
They never did. Mika and Lizzie. They did not explain how they died.
After the prison, that whole Herschel, the Green family, you know, Herschel, Beth, and Maggie, Maggie assumed that, you know, Bells was already dead. So she had this new hope. After both of them seeing their dad get his head sliced off, you know, they had this new hope they're going to find each other again. So for her to sit there and come in, that's pretty much what took me down, to be honest with you. Because, you know, she's a survivor member of the family. And so I know she's going to probably be going through, she just lost her dad and her sister in probably a couple of days' time because, you know, it hasn't been that long of a damn time period since they left the prison. So Megan's going to probably look messed up in the head. You know what I'm saying? You know, she lost both her dad and her sister in, like, in a short time span. Noah, I don't think he's going to be long for their group. I think he's kind of replaced Bob. Then the group's going to probably figure out that, you know, Eugene lied. Because, I mean, they know now, but not all of them know.
They were going to head on to Washington anyway. I think ultimately, just because they thought there would be more infrastructure there, you know, there that he, you know, even though it was a lie, it was a truth in a lie, because it's true that the government would have some sort of contingency plans for, you know, world annihilation, you know. So they're thinking if there are any survivors in a large-scale facility, it would probably be in the D.C. area. Or at least, you know, Virginia, the Pentagon, you know, that kind of shit. So, you know, they were going to head in that general direction. Do you think they'll get there before the end of the season, or what do you think?
I think just production. Like, they have to have some sort of big thing that happens in the next season. I think that's going to be the cliffhanger. They might just get to the edge of it at the in like the season finale. Next season, it's going to be like Walking Dead, DC.
Can you recall the guy who they introduced, the gay guy who took them to?
They said
that he would be introduced in this latter half of the season.
Right.
There's that. And then they didn't say when, though.
See, to me, my prediction was that they're going to make it to Virginia by the end of the season because they're going to have to introduce a new villain, Negan. And he doesn't come along for a while, you know, so I think they need to get a few steps into their new place and then, you know, introducing a new villain. And because there's a lot that happens there, you know, like before they even get to it. Like they hear whispers of this Negan character, but they don't see him for a long time. And then when he does show up, it is fucking shocking. So that could be like the season 6 premiere, and that would kill some people. That will be the shocker. Like, so who knows? Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping, maybe, and dreading. Hoping and dreading. What's the tea on the spinoff?
Well, the tea is the spinoff is going to take place in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it's going to be like a pseudo prequel because it's going to feature the beginning of the outbreak, kind of like when the have you seen any of the short the mini-sodes? Yeah, just think of it like their first one about the bicycle girl. Kind of like this, where everything just going to hell, and it's like about it's going to follow a teacher and a divorced teacher, and I believe his coworker and her child and his child, and they're going to cast the four people. So that's pretty much the premise of it. They don't know how much they're going to tie it into the original show, but I mean, by them being on both sides of the coast, I don't see that happening. I didn't think that's a great way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, just keeping it separate because that's two different worlds.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, it'd be kind of interesting if they didn't know certain things about the zombies that, you know, considering that it's much earlier on in the outbreak and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you could have that part where they don't even know how to kill them yet or. Things like
sense.
That.
I don't know when it would premiere, but I know it's supposed to be either sometime this fall or next fall, next spring, one of the two.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll be checking it out. If it's similar to it, you know, like as long as it's not Z Nation, I can deal.
Oh my God! If anything past Z Nation, this shit needs to be burned and like it'd be burned and. They went to put holy water thrown on it and everything. Just like, stop, just stop by your head, just stop. I find everything, but you need to just stop.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was pretty bad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for the M3 Deadcast. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mark Estes, for joining me on the phone. And we will be back next week to bring you our first recap and review of Season 5, Episode 9. To learn more about the Male Media Mind, click on malemediamind.com, where you'll find links to videos, articles, and other podcasts from nerdy black bears like Mark and I. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next week.